Father, we thank you so much. We pray that as we hear it, you would help us to believe it and to place our hope in it. And so please guide my words by your Holy Spirit to help us do just that, to trust that what it says about who you are and who we are is true. Amen. So Jesus once told this story about a father who had two sons. And one day the younger son came to the father and he said, "Father, give me my share of the estate." It is a bold and shameless question because he's basically saying, "Dad, can we skip to the part where you're dead and I get your money?" And yet the father honored this request. He divided his property between them. A short time later, the younger son gathered together all he had and he set off for a faraway country where he squandered his money in wild living. After the money had run out, a severe famine came across that whole country and he began to find himself in need. And so he went and he hired himself out as a worker, as a laborer to a citizen of that country, who then sent him out to the field to feed his pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. It's desperate. No family, the money's gone, and as he lugs the pods to feed the pigs with, his cultural identity is gone too. Because pigs are unclean for those who are part of his culture or his nationality. And even so, as he watches the pigs munch on those pods, he's jealous. He is so hungry that even that food looks attractive. And then he comes to his senses. He has this moment of clarity in the midst of the hunger pains going on in his stomach, where he realizes and says to himself, "How many of my father's servants have food to spare, while here I am starving to death? I'll get up and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around his bony frame and kissed him. The son began his rehearsed lines. He said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' And the father turned to the servants and said, 'Quick, get the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother was out in the fields. And when he came in near the home, he heard music and dancing. And puzzled, he called one of the servants to him to ask, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come home,' the servant replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf for him because he has him back, safe and sound.' At this, the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. And so the father came to him and pleaded with him. And the older son replied, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and I've never once disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours who has squandered your property on prostitutes comes home and you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and all that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead. And he's alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. It's one of Jesus' best known stories because of the picture it shows of the Father. A Father who is himself a picture of God. If you have nothing else stick in your mind from this morning, then that picture, let it be that picture. God is a father with open arms. Coming to him is like coming home. And yet, as the son began that long journey back to his homeland, all of that was in doubt. As he's rehearsing his lines to his father, and his heart pounds as he approaches the estate. What kind of welcome could he actually anticipate? And so that's what we want to think about now. And first, I want to imagine what it would be like to meet the older brother. Coming to the older brother is ghastly. Now, we do feel a sense of sympathy for the older brother, don't we? Because he has worked hard and he's done what he is supposed to do. While the younger brother is off squandering the father's wealth, he is there diligently obeying the father. He's actually the type of son that most parents are trying to raise. Right up to the point where the celebration begins. And then he becomes so angry that he refuses to go in. Have a look at verse 29. Look, he says, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property on prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. He's indignant. After all these years, it seems so unfair. And he's not wrong. The problem with the older brother, though, is his is a love that you have to earn. Performance is more important than relationship. This son of yours. What you meet when you meet the older brother is superiority. It's a place where your flaws are painfully magnified. A place where you need to earn love. Where you have to deserve it. We've all been there. And it's ghastly. That feeling of not measuring up. That sense of not being good enough, no matter how hard you try. Needing to earn love crushes the soul. Compare that to meeting the Father. Coming to the Father is like coming home. How many distracted days did that father spend in the fields longingly staring at the horizon? How much aching had the father done for that scandalous son? This story is so familiar to probably many of us that it's hard to appreciate the surprise of the father's response. Have a look at it again in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. He hadn't phoned ahead. The father must have been watching and waiting to be able to see him when he was so far off. He is filled with compassion for this broken, malnourished boy trudging along. And so, breaking all decorum, the father runs to him and throws his arms around him. His moist kisses removing the dirt from his cheeks. The son only begins to croak out his acknowledgement of his sin before the father interrupts him with a lavish welcome. Have a look at verse 22. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us have a feast to celebrate. Because this son of mine was lost and is found." He was dead and is alive again. I'll flip the order on that. The best robe. The ring on the finger, the sandals on his feet are all signs of status, reputation, and honor. Killing the fatted calf is extreme extravagance. He doesn't come home to a tense truce. "I'll out this time, but you better figure it out from here on through." He comes home to a once-in-a-lifetime celebration. Coming to the Father is like coming home. A safe place to be broken. A secure love. It's what we long for more than anything. And it's a picture of what it means to be loved by God. Notice also, the father's love for the lost son is equal to the father's patience for the now lost older son, the one who's on the outside refusing to come in. The father doesn't berate him for being ungrateful and self-focused. The son receives the father's pleading, not his superiority in finger pointing. He receives the father's patience, not the father's condemnation. Both sons have a father who is a safe place to be broken. And the story's left hanging. Will that older brother come in? Today, as we celebrate Father's Day, God is not a better version of your dad. The resemblance is from the top down, not from the bottom up. The best of human fathers and some of the experiences that were shared this morning are but a brief reflection of the patient, compassionate love of God the Father for us. That beautiful love comes courtesy of Jesus, the perfect older brother. He didn't come with superiority to make us earn God's love. He didn't come to accuse and point the finger at our flaws. He came to absorb the cost, to go to the cross, that we would be forgiven and welcomed into God's family. Whether you've experienced a glimpse of that secure love, whether today is a day that you feel the pain of no longer having it, or a day that you feel the sting and the sense of disappointment of never having experienced it, God is a father who is scanning the horizon, waiting for you. He is the father who is patiently pleading for you to let go of your grumbling and come home. He is the one who is willing to stoop down from the throne in heaven, from his throne in glory, to embrace you and delight in having you home. His moist kisses, dampening the dust on your well-weathered cheeks. The love that you have always longed for is held out to you from God the Father. Coming to Him is like coming home. Will you come? Will you come to Him? And then finally, for those who have experienced that unconditional love, we are called to reflect the Father's love. John writes, we love because God first loved us. That compassionate, patient love of God the Father is expected to flow through us to others, not to just flow to us. The reality is that your kids and your parents and your friends at school and the neighbor across the fence are all broken and incomplete, just like you. They need your Heavenly Father's patient love. When they meet you, do they meet the superior older brother? Or do they meet the compassionate father? That's not to excuse their behavior. There's a lot of behavior goes on in this story that can't continue unchanged. However, it is the patience of God and not the superiority of his finger-pointing people that leads others to repentance. It's Father's Day. I want to have a word to the dads in the room. It's an incredible privilege to be able to reflect this fatherly love of God among our families. A privilege that is so worth doing and giving your best effort to because of how life-giving it is for those who receive it. However, the reality is that many of us are tainted with self-doubt, regret, because our reflection of love has easily been tainted by impatience and a lack of compassion, perhaps doing a lot of damage along the way. We're not the fathers we wish we were. We all need God's compassionate embrace, to hear him say, I forgive you. I'll help you recover from the mistakes you've made with your kids. Or perhaps someone else that's in your mind this morning. If you want to talk about that or pray about that, I'd be more than happy to do so with you. Let me also encourage you to come along to What's at Stake in a couple of weeks, and you'll be surrounded by other men, some of whom are willing to share quite honestly about how difficult and challenging life is in this world that we live in. It's an opportunity to step into a community that you can be shaped by. And then for all of us, don't lose sight of that picture of the Father gazing longingly out beyond the fields, waiting to see his Son, waiting for him to come to his senses, waiting to compassionately fling his arms around him. Coming to the Father is like coming home. It's beautiful. Come to him. Amen. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, the picture that we have here in this parable is a picture that's better than we can imagine. A love that is a safe place to be broken. A compassion in the midst of our stupidity and pride. The warm embrace of a father. His kisses on our cheeks. It's what we long for more than anything. And so I pray for us as we gather here today, whether we've known that love or never having known it, please show us that this is true. Give our hearts the ability to lean in and trust your love for us. And if it's for the first time, thank you for your love poured out for us while we were still sinners. We thank you for Jesus, through whom all this becomes possible. Amen.